Well, there was a good reason for that. I had forgotten to switch back over to microphone last time I played music. So good morning, angels. It is, a delight and a privilege and an honor to be here with you guys, and for this joining. So, yeah, let's just go ahead and play our song and greet each other. We usually say good morning on the board, although a lot of people have been already doing that. But let's go ahead and listen to our theme song, We Are Awakening, by Deva Premal and Nitin. And Ken, I trust that you have that ready to play. All right, I'm going to drop the mic.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Script here, or the order of service, not really a script. So we do our statement of purpose and the core values we're going to emphasize today. So let me go back to the website and read that for you guys. It's good. We just that we remind ourselves these things bear repetition, so we reinforce our remembrance of our purpose and values on Sunday mornings. There is a consistent wisdom in the universe. It shows up in all religions, in philosophy, in all cultures, and throughout time. This wisdom is not unique or new. It is owned by no one and by no organization. No one has to go to a special place or special teacher to find it. It is the most abundant wisdom in the universe. Once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. Amen. There is also a way of not seeing universal wisdom. We all have the ability to be distracted from it by self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. What is awakening together? What are we? Who are we and why are we here? Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. I have a nice little froggy today. Our purpose. We are an assembly of equals. I love this. Joined in common purpose. Awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and rest in its embrace. Amen. And the core values, I think, you know, I reviewed the values and what I wanted to talk about, and I think it's 2, 3, and 5 are all going to be part of the message today. Number 2, we realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. 3, we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. 5, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through the enduring awareness of self. I'm going to read that sentence again. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Amen. Okay. Lovely to remember these things. To remind ourselves of them. So let's go to our announcements. We have a few today. Tonight's speaker spotlight will be Reverend Araceli Torres Champagne. Reverend Araceli is a Pathways of Light minister who speaks regularly in our sanctuary each Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Her regular topic is The Different Paths to Truth. Reverend Araceli is absolutely delightful to listen to, so please come into the sanctuary tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and get to know Reverend Araceli. 2. A new Common Ground miniseries starts tonight. It is a 5-week miniseries titled Awakening at Home, and it is offered by our own Regina Dawn Akers. During this miniseries, Regina is repeating the teaching she shared at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat. Just like at the retreat, Regina's miniseries is focused on awakening skills including meditation, contemplation, journaling, inquiry techniques, mind watching, and awareness. As usual, you can make a donation to support the miniseries. However, all donations made to support Regina's miniseries will go to the Retreat Center fundraising campaign. The miniseries begins tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. And I'll just say, I was at the retreat and and am also obviously an Awakening Together minister. And so I've taken all the classes. And Regina's retreat was great. And it was a wonderful review and deepening into spiritual practices. And I'll say, for those of you that want to take classes and want to take True Discernment, it's an amazing class. However, it's 11 weeks long. And I'm just going to say, if you're not interested in classes or you know, that level of structure, or in becoming a minister, what she's going to cover in this mini-series from my perspective anyway, basically covers, you know, is sort of a little bit of a cliff notes for true discernment. So it's going to be very valuable, and I highly recommend it. So there, that's my two cents. Sundays, number three. Sundays in the sanctuary are packed with insightful programming from the ACIM meditation and weekly gathering each Sunday morning through the Common Ground miniseries and other special programming on Sunday night. We've noticed that the sanctuary is full all day on Sunday until the end of contemplation circle at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But then the members call it a night and leave the sanctuary. Therefore, we've decided to close the sanctuary each Sunday at 10:30 Eastern Time, immediately following Contemplation Circle. The sanctuary will remain open until 11:30 Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday. Okay, that completes our announcements for this week. And let's do a song. So I'm doing my own music today because Lynn is not here. So it's going to be a little bit, you know, just bear with me. I have to switch back and forth because I don't have a music director. So I think our opening song is going to be People Get Ready by Eva Cassidy.
Ready.
Yeah, as Kathy said, you don't need no baggage. You just get on board. Just get on board. You're already on board. Just drop the baggage and you'll know it. Anyway, I love that song. So next we're going to have our inspirational reading. And yeah, your brother is your ticket. That's great. Thank you, Cindy. And our inspirational reading, and it's going to be read by Jerry Scott, first time in the room, or in this big room anyway. She's a member and an MPP student and a great friend of mine, and she is going to read for us. It's Goody, please. Thank you. Someone is having the nerve to ride a bicycle past my house right now. Can you believe that? My dog can't. please. Thank you. So, anyway, it's a prelude to lesson 341, and it's just, what is a miracle? So let me drop the mic and let Jerry read for us.
Can you hear me now? What is a miracle? A miracle is a correction. It does not create nor really change at all. It merely looks on devastation and reminds the mind that what it sees is false. It undoes error, but does not attempt to go beyond perception, nor exceed the function of forgiveness. Thus it stays within time's limits. Yet it paves the way for the return of timelessness and love's awakening. For fear must slip away under the gentle remedy it brings. A miracle contains the gift of grace, for it is given and received as one. And thus it illustrates the law of truth the world does not obey, because it fails entirely to understand its ways. A miracle inverts perception, which was upside down before, and thus it ends the strange distortions that will manifest. Now is perception open to truth. Now is forgiveness seen as justified. Forgiveness is the home of miracles. The eyes of Christ deliver them to all they look upon in mercy and in love. Perception stands corrected in his sight, and what was meant to curse has come to bless. Each lily of forgiveness offers all the world the silent miracle of love. And each is laid before the word of God upon the universal altar to Creator and creation in the light of perfect purity and endless joy. The miracle is taken first on faith, because to ask for it implies the mind has been made ready to conceive of what it cannot see and does not understand. Yet faith will bring its witnesses to show that what is rested on is really there. And thus the miracle will justify your faith in it and show it rested on a world more real than what you saw before, a world redeemed from what you thought was there. Miracles fall like drops of healing rain from heaven on a dry and dusty world. Creatures come to die. Now they have water. Now the world is green, and everywhere the signs of life spring up to show that what is born can never die, for what has life has immortality. Thank you. That was from A Course in Miracles, lessons 340 to 341. And I will...
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. I could really feel it. I trust you guys can hear me. Give me a yes if you don't mind. Okay, great. Let me just go back. I think it's time for the message now, right? Sorry, I'm such a goofball. I have to keep running back to look to see what we're doing. Oh yeah, that would be me. I'm on now. Okay. So that reading is very relevant to our week. I don't know. You know I come in here and I'm always preaching to the choir. You know, this is a pretty hip group, right? But still, most of us, you know, we're here, so we're still having a human experience. And a lot of interesting things came up for a lot of people in this past week due to our election coming up. And what was meant to curse has come to bless, only because we are willing to allow our perception to be corrected and allow Holy Spirit, divine intuition, you know, God, whatever you want to call it, to have its way with us. And so no matter who people voted for, it's a tremendous opportunity. What's happening with us collectively is, in fact, a truly tremendous gift and opportunity. And I have to say, I'll just speak for myself, my little human self. Tuesday night, it was very funny. I went, a bunch of friends had a party, and I went to hang out with a bunch of people. And I'll tell you, all Tuesday, I'm going to preface this by letting you guys know, personally, you know, I think we all have sort of a personal adjustment energetically, like we come into the world to sort of be a certain experience for life, for the one life. And my experience is I'm very open energetically and I feel everything. Like I'm just a big feeler. And I don't mind that. I mean, some people really object to it, but that, you know, being very empathic, because I'm aware that a lot of what I feel, I at this point anyway, I used to, when I was younger, I used to think it was painful. And sometimes I still do experience it as painful, for sure. But I used to think it was the truth, you know, what I felt. And now I know that it's just an experience. So Tuesday night, I was with my friends, and as I said, I was feeling very euphoric. And I think in retrospect, I don't think the euphoria was because I thought Clinton was going to win, because I'm not particularly attached to her, although I thought, you know, my human self considered was, you know, she was the choice that I was making and most of my friends were making. The euphoria was beyond that. On Tuesday during the day. And in retrospect, I realize I think it's just, it was this feeling of impending, like, ego collapse that was going to happen, like, en masse, you know, that was going to let the light, there was going to be a huge crack to let the light in. And so I have to say, for myself, that Tuesday night with my pals, you know, as things started to look less and less likely for the candidate of our choice to win, the crowd thinned. A lot of people went home, and I was one of the last people to stay. And when it really became apparent, I have to say, I cried. You know, people were talking about how people, minorities, Muslims in particular, it really broke my heart to think of how people like that, people in those meat suits and also theology suits might be feeling at this time. And it was heartbreaking to me. And I just let it rip. You know, I just kind of let it rip. And I even knew in the thick of it, I was aware, because at this point I've had enough spiritual experience and awareness and training to know that it's just an experience. But I didn't fight it. I let it rip on through me, and it did. And then I went home. And the next morning I woke up, and it came again. And I listened to some mantras. I wish I could remember. I know one, Sadhguru Prasad. But it really helped it. It helped the feeling of that feeling of sort of heartbreak and despair regarding, not regarding sort of, you know, an election result, but the meaning that I gave, and I think lots of people gave to the outcome regarding what we believed it demonstrated about sort of the state of our collective belief system. And so again, I just let it rip, you know, I just let it rip on through me without any resistance, and also knowing that it was not truth. And it was really powerful. And I let it happen. And then it cleared. It cleared. And then it was funny, later, a little while later, I looked on Facebook and I saw something. The first thing I saw after I let it clear was a little post about Donald Trump holding a gay pride flag, you know, the rainbow flag, and talking about inclusiveness. And, you know, on the worldly level, whether that's true or not, it doesn't even matter, but it was just sort of like, wow, there was a little demonstration, you know, of the clearing I had just experienced. That was the first thing I saw, not something angry on Facebook, but that. And it was so interesting. I realized at that point, and I also, before that, I had also gone and listened to all the speeches. And I'm not much of a news listener. I don't tend to watch TV, but I just looked them up on the internet and listened to all the speeches, Hillary, Trump, and Obama. And I made a conscious decision to, and not only made a decision, but I really felt it, to love the ever-loving crap out of that man. And I didn't say crap at the time. I posted on Facebook too. But Facebook doesn't have the same language rules that we have here in the sanctuary. I happen to love colorful language, but anyway. But that was what I decided, and I really felt it, and that was wonderful. I was so grateful for that. So grateful. I was grateful and surprised that I could feel that, and I realized when I was gonna love the ever loving crap out of him. What I was loving the ever-loving crap out of was my own perception. Every time resistance comes up, I'm going to love the ever-loving crap out of it. Resistance to what is, you know, a lack of acceptance of what is. And I know, you know, I really know that even though this is a dream, you know, we have a choice of it being a nightmare or a happy dream. And I know that it's these openings that generate a shift. They generate a demonstration in the dream. And what I do, and what I know, just like the miracle that Jerry just read for us, we don't do it because we have an attachment to the outcome of how it's going to look, because that would not be surrender. That would not be allowing the Holy Spirit to have its way with our perceptions, with, you know, the law of truth. That's another line that stuck out to me. The law of truth, the world does not obey. The world doesn't obey it. If we keep addressing it on the level of the world, and I know I'm preaching the choir, but we just keep coming up with more and more resistance. And miracles can't occur. It doesn't leave an opening for a miracle. Yes, as Jay just said, we are the demonstrators of loving all. And so they talked about the red wall as we were watching the TV. As we were watching the TV Wednesday night and into Wednesday morning. And I think, and what has occurred to me is that those of us, it's not going to, it can't change. Obviously, it can't change on the level of demonstration is just demonstration, right? It's the demonstration of the projection of our thought. And so it's not going to change. I realized that my thoughts are getting a little scrambled. I mean, I'm clear in myself. I hope I'm expressing myself clearly. We can be the wall of love, because it's not going to change out there. It's never going to change out there. It occurred to me this week that if we had a president, if Regina Dawn Akers were nominated president right now, or somebody, or one of us, or someone, Maharishi, he's dead, but, Mahesh Yogi, somebody who truly functioned on the level of the Tao, the American people would be enraged, because we're not ready for that en masse to show up at the top as a demonstration, not the majority sort of energy yet. People would think that was, ineffective and weak. And so the wall of love has to just, obviously, it starts with us. It starts with each one. It doesn't start out there. It starts in here. And eventually, in the evolution, in time, which is a dream, but in time, we will demonstrate, candidates that reflect this, love that knows no conditions, that loves everything and neutralizes everything that it's not. It will happen, but it can't happen until the tipping point, which we're moving towards. I think this extreme revealing of shadow is no doubt a part of coming to that point. So, but again, who knows how it's all going to turn out, how it's all going to look in the dream. We have no idea. But what came to me, I wanted to share a story with you guys. It's a story, those of you that actually know me personally, a lot of you know this story. But I just want to share it because a lot of times we talk about not being attached to the demonstration, and yet there is no doubt. And for some reason, I feel compelled to be a voice for that in this group. There is no doubt that what we are willing, the miracles that we're willing to allow, the correction that we're willing to allow in our own minds and hearts, the only place where you are sovereign, you have dominion right there to let the truth be true, to let the, to allow it. Precedes any demonstration. All demonstration is a result of thought. And so, so we are the change, we are the ones we've been waiting for. All those old sayings, it's true. We are that. And, so I'm going to tell this story. And I've had lots of interesting mystical experience, and I was even guided at one point I should write a book, but there's lots of people that have mystical experience, so I just haven't gotten over myself enough to start that project. But this is just one, but it happens to be probably the most, from a human perspective, the most dramatic one. And it just demonstrates something. So once upon a time, about 25 years ago, I was driving my car. I happened to be driving a big black Suburban at that time. And I'm a horse person, so I needed something that pulled a trailer. And I was on my way. I worked on a really big farm, a thoroughbred breeding farm. Beautiful, magnificent place in the, in the dream, with lots of wonderful horses and people. But I was going through a time in my life. I was going through a divorce, and I was, I just started studying Course in Miracles, and so I'd had a lot of, it's funny. I didn't at that time. I didn't think of the word, awakening wasn't a big word for me, but opening was a big word. It's like these experiences, this willingness and the surrender that generated the opportunity for experiences. It was like big rents in the fabric of what I had believed was reality, you know, which is what happens. Sometimes it happens in little pieces and sometimes it happens in big pieces. But I had had sort of a humanitarian view. I hadn't had a spiritual view before that. At any rate, so the significance of what I drove is that, and I had lots of different things that I chose to put pressure on myself with, of anxiety and fear and concern, and money and time were two of my favorites, and that my relationship, I think I said I was going through a divorce, so the fact that this primary relationship was disintegrating, a lot of guilt. So there was a lot of guilt and sort of the shadow of guilt and self-loathing and anxiety, feeling safeness. All those things were bubbling up big time, even though I'd already been having a lot of epiphanies. But they were still there, and I was still, the temptation was still very strong. I could still very easily go into believing them. And so I was. And so it was lunchtime one day at work, and I needed to get to the bank to deposit my paycheck so that I could keep other checks bouncing. So I had created a lot of, you know, generated a lot of anxiety for myself, even on a human level. But now I realize that is one of those things, you know, what was meant to curse has come to bless, because it generated this amazing opportunity for a realization of truth. Revelation. I would say this was revelation. According to the definition of A Course in Miracles, this was what happened, was revelation. So I was driving. I got in my Suburban, my black Suburban, and headed down the road. It was beautiful in the country. People don't realize in New Jersey there's beautiful, beautiful countryside here. I live in the country, and it's a big horse country, actually. And so I was driving to my bank. And I was driving down this beautiful road. It's called Mount Pleasant Road. I didn't even know it then. It was called Mount Pleasant Road. I never knew it. It was one of those things you drive on the road and you don't know what it's called. I called it the Road to Columbus because that was the town it went to. And so now, in retrospect, I call this my Road to Columbus experience. You know, referring to Road to Damascus and Paul. And so I was driving, and I was in this state of anxiety and had been looking at a lot of guilt. And so, which had been generating some epiphanies and breakthroughs for me, for sure, combined with studying A Course in Miracles, the workbook. And so I'm driving down this beautiful road, all of these beautiful pastoral scenes, all these lovely fields and farmland and forest, and as I'm driving down the road, I come to a place where there's a bit of a blind curve, and God knows what happened. What did I do? I must have looked down. Maybe I adjusted my radio. Who knows what I did? But come here, and I was driving a little fast, probably definitely over the speed limit, and all of a sudden, right in front of me was a pedestrian, totally unexpected on this country road. Walking in the middle of the road, right smack in front of my car. There was no avoiding him. I mean, I stood on the brakes, but it was too late. And I hit this person dead on, a man, probably 45 mile, maybe 50 miles an hour. And he just went flying. And it was very interesting because I had been feeling so, you know, looking at guilt. And what came into my mind was, wow. And it wasn't like, wow, like I'm saying now. My experience then was very different. but the words were like, wow, you thought that was bad. You thought you were bad. No, this is bad. this is really bad. This is as bad as it gets. Now you've won. Now you know what bad really is. And I did. I felt that was my experience. I felt ultimate badness. Ultimate badness. And the next thing I experienced was, I would call it total ego collapse. I just said, God help me. This is so bad. You know, there's nowhere from here. God help me. I also would describe it as saying, Uncle. I think that's the most powerful prayer there is. When you can sincerely say Uncle regarding what you're experiencing and believing. Anyway. You know, you've killed someone. Uncle, God help me. So the next thing I experienced was an entirely, it was a totally different dimension. Entirely different experience. I had an experience of awareness completely beyond time, space, and form. There were no benevolent beings to help me or anything like that. It was just pure light, pure bliss, pure love. It's beyond description, and I'm sure many of you have also experienced this. Maybe with less extreme precipitation. You know, your precipitating circumstances may not needed to have been as extreme as mine, because who knows, maybe I'm just that much of a hardhead, or I was. But it was pure truth. That was clear. That much was clear to whatever this being is or was at that time. It was pure truth. And so what became apparent is, and the reason I'm sharing that, it just, well, become apparent why I'm sharing it today. It was so obvious that experience was truth, and the experience of being a guilt-ridden murderer was not the truth. And that nothing that I believed in this world of time, space, and form was in fact truth. That what I was experiencing, this pure light, that for which there was no contrast. I mean, the contrast was the illusory experience, but within that, there was nothing. There was nothing but this pure light. There was no, like I said, no time, no space, no form, no contrast. But it was pure bliss. It was a feeling some glimmer of it as I'm sharing it again. And so it was like everything that you believed, everything you thought was important, everything you thought the sun rose and set on, everything you thought was good and bad, right or wrong, da-da-da-da, all of that, like none of it matters, because this is the truth, this is truth. This is reality. I mean, I can't say those exact words, but that was the experience. And so that was so obvious. It was just so obvious and so clear, and I totally accepted it. And the moment that I totally, but there wasn't time, I can't say, you know, like in time, it could have been a millennium and it could have been a millisecond. And I can't even really tell you about that, but that's the best I can do. But at the point that I totally accepted that, it immediately ended. And I found myself. And I was back into human awareness in time, space, and form, you know, being a body and a personality. But I was back in my truck behind the wheel with my hands at 10 and 2 and my eyes in the rearview mirror. And in that rearview mirror, I could see the man that I had just totally smashed with my truck, walking totally unscathed in the road, about 75 feet behind my truck. And so, and then I have to share with you, I had so many experiences along those lines for about a year. But that was the most humanly extraordinary. And then I have to say that I spent years, because I was a beginner, you know, but with really extraordinary spiritual experience. And I spent years in anger and frustration about amazing grace and how come, and I couldn't will it. I couldn't will it. And what's going on? And why aren't miracles, these immediate miracles, apparent? How come they don't happen all the time? And, you know, so anyway, so I spent years in that. And I've come, you know, it's been 25 years, and I've come to a lot of peace and to a place of accepting that lesson. But it's not always going to look like that. And that's why I'm sharing this with us all today. It's not always going to look like that. It doesn't mean it's not happening. It's freaking happening all the time. It's happening right now. Your heart is open. You're willing to love everything that shows up. Willing to be shown. Willing to be mistaken. And I'm telling you, you can take it to the bank. I'm telling you that the dream is transformed through that. You may not get to personally experience that dramatic of a demonstration, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening. It doesn't mean that it's not happening. It is happening. It absolutely is happening. So, you know, basically, the healing of your own mind is the best thing we can do for the world, right? Letting our own mind be healed. But I think it's heartening. I think it's heartening, for me anyway, and maybe for some of you, to know that your practice and your willingness do have fruits in the dream. You are. You and your spiritual practice are healing the dream. And not just for yourself. I mean, yes, and yes. And the paradox is, and yes, just for yourself. Because there's only one of us here. So, anyway, I just wanted to... And I know you guys are working on being the love in the face of all the feelings and the turmoil, emotional turmoil that seem to be boiling up. And I think that those of us that have come as far as we've come in our spiritual evolution and practice, you know, we really are. We're the wall of love. Yeah, we are that wall of love. And we are our willingness to be the holes, the rents in that fabric of what we have collectively believed. That as we come together here, oh, you know, I never did an invocation. I'm going to pray us out, though. As we come together, because we are joined, all joined, yet in a place like this, in awakening together, we are consciously joined. And that conscious joining, that communion, is a portal. It's a big hole, a big tear in the fabric of our collective belief system of right and wrong and resistance and contention. And so we are that. I'm touched. I'm going to cry. We are that. So I'm really grateful to be a part of everything. And in the dream, I'm a part of this. And I think it's important, and I'm grateful, not just for us personally, but for us collectively. And I'm so grateful that we're all together and that we support each other in the healing of our personal and therefore collective mind. We're very blessed, and we are a blessing. You are a blessing. You are healing the dream. Thank you. Yes. 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 Seeing the innocence of our brothers, as Barb just wrote, the red and blue wall dissolves into the love wall, and all sense of impending doom dissolves. Amen, amen, amen. So I think that sums it up. That's my message. That's the message that wanted to come through me for today. And I just appreciate you guys listening. I have to go back and look at the thing and see what I'm supposed to do next. Okay, this is great. So we have open meditation and contemplation by all, and then an open sharing. So I think it's 11:10. Let me play a song so we can contemplate, and then let's have open up for sharing. And then I'll close this out. It's a beautiful, yeah, you're so welcome. What a beautiful gathering. We are so blessed, huh? Are we not? So let me find a song for us. Oh, here we go. This is a good one. All right. But I got to do the mic switcheroo. Bear with me.
Remember to love, to serve, and remember.
Okay, so now it is time for sharing. So I'd love to see any hands of anyone who wants to share comments on what we've been talking about today. I'm sure somebody's got to have something they would like to share. Can you guys hear me? Can I hear a yes if you can hear me? Oh, okay. All right. Just wondered because I wasn't seeing any hands. Figured I'd see hands go up during the song. Okay, great. Jay, it's all yours.
Yeah, thank you, Carrie. And I appreciate you rising to the occasion and being the presenting minister this week. I'm still recovering from my surgery. But I wanted to thank you for sharing that story. Particularly now, as it relates to, I had a gum surgery in my mouth above the, it was actually in my upper left side of my jaw, and they had to do add some bone material and stitch it up. It was pretty invasive, so I had quite a few days of recovery time, but I'm fine. But I, you know, in regards to the vote, you know, here in Chicago, there's been a ton of protests, and of course, this is the location of the Trump Tower, you know, with the name Trump boldly printed on the side of his building, towering above, you know, all of downtown Chicago, and you know, there's certainly a lot of just like anything else, for and against people with Trump, but obviously the minorities are the ones that are all protesting because they fear a lot of different outcomes. And, you know, I really have to just put aside all of the judgments, and I really feel good about the fact that I didn't get into a lot of judgments because I didn't really, yes, I voted. I didn't really participate in the emotional up and down of the whole thing. I just stayed in a place of love. And, you know, one of the things I'm practicing in my teachings right now is Michael Lankford's Loving All Method. And this is a perfect place to practice it. And really, just stay unattached and just be in that loving space, you know, which is exactly what someone wrote on the board. I think it was either you, Barb, or somebody said, you know, these are my attachments. This is where the pain is. It's always going to be where you get attached. So if you just never cross that line, if you never form the attachment, you can actually be in the left space. And it's such a blessing to do that, because it feels so healing. Because when I go out into the public, I can just radiate that healing presence strongly, confidently. Because, you know, there's such a time of insecurity and fear. A person with a presence of confidence and loving calmness emanating from them with a smile on their face is actually a very healing presence. You know, amidst people that are in turmoil or fear, they can feel that and they receive it. Even if it's just subconscious, there's a type of energetic transfer that occurs between you and them without any words spoken, heart to heart, kind of like the Heart Math Institute talks about, teachings from that book and all their studies. That if you put yourself in this space and you practice this and you genuinely give up your attachments, realizing that this love wall that Carrie's teaching about is what you then embody when you practice that teaching, you will actually do more to quote unquote change the world than any protest ever could, or any well-written political commentary paper, or even political office or legislation that you as a senator would help pass, or whatever. It would be actually better, because that true security comes from within, and the Holy Spirit can then rearrange all of the things in our world based on how much light can come into our dream. And ultimately, let go of all of this, it just sort of automatically rearranges to a perfect state. One of the retreat participants shared about an amazing experience they had of seeing nothing but love for a period of days and days and days, where they would even work in a setting where they saw people in quote-unquote conflict with each other, but all she could see is love, immense love. Now, this experience faded. It was a mystical experience, because it was only for a period of time this was given to her. But it hooked her, and it put her on the path of awakening. And I keep that experience that this person shared with me a lot ever since the retreat, because being in that space of love can have such a healing effect for everyone around you, and the whole sonship, the whole world, everyone. When you just simply look upon what seems as conflict and see only love, that is such a powerful tool. And I just wanted to share that. So inviting everyone else to join me in that. Thank you.
I think Willingness 58 was next in line, and then Cindy.
Good morning, everyone. Can I get a mic check? Oh, great. Thanks. So thank you for your sharing. I've listened to you a number of times. My name is Dolores. I've listened to you a number of times on Wednesdays, and I've just listened to you a lot. And so I appreciate what you shared today. And I don't know. So I'm African American. You know, I've manifested here as African American. And so I've had experiences as a minority. And so this election and Trump being elected has opened up a lot of wounds, or things that I've had to look at. And so I often, you know, and I have a couple of friends who ask this, African-American friends, so why did we choose to come here as African-American? Or like, why is this happening? You know, I mean, because, you know, you go back to, you know, the experience of slavery, and there's been all this fighting and civil rights to have civil rights, only to have, you know, what appears to be this backlash. And So it does open up wounds for me that I guess, you know, that I have to look at. I don't know where I'm going with this. I can't act like I don't feel, because I do feel. The next day that it happened, I was just so despondent. Tears tried to well up, but I didn't cry a whole lot. But I've been having to go inward and look at my thinking, I have never had really any trust in the political process. And I like what you shared about, on the level of form, you're not going to have any resolution. Not on the level of form. So I've never had any trust in the political process. But it's had me to go in and check the thoughts that I have about myself. I don't know, about life. You know, I have a friend. She's white, and we worked out together. We would work out together. We worked out together for maybe 2 or 3 years. So she's a Trump supporter. And on Facebook, I got into a little tiff with her family. I immediately got out of it. I didn't take it further, but with her son-in-law and daughter, they were all Trump supporters. And so now I'm having a difficult time. Really, I can't deny what I feel with her. So I'm having a difficult time even pursuing our relationship anymore, because I feel that anyone who has supported Trump has not addressed their feelings of racism. And I know I'm dealing here on the level of form, and I know, and I do believe there's the high road. I mean, what Jay was talking about, and not being attached and loving everything, and I'm working on that. I'm working on that. That is my process. But I go back and forth with dealing with my thoughts. What is this about? Because I can't carry any hatred, but I don't want to be disingenuous with my friend and be somewhere where I'm not. And it's like, and I don't know what level of delusion I believe. I'm here as a human being, so obviously I have a level of delusion. But when you have someone who would support that type of platform, I don't know how you have a discussion, a real discussion about that. Because I don't want to like change her or anything like that. I don't know where I'm going, except that I know this is, I guess, a deepening for me. But I have to say that it has made me feel despair, because I feel like I feel like if I'm walking past a person and and I know it's their own self-hatred projected out, any type of racism, sexism, whatever, it's your own unworthiness projected onto me. I really do get that. And so I guess it's just the work for me that I have to continually keep going inward and not believe my thoughts about distrusting anyone else. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live in fear. So I guess this is appropriate. But I've had to investigate my feelings of why did I not want Donald Trump to win? You know, is it just because I'm competitive and I want my candidate to win? Was it really genuine or did I really want love to prevail? You know, so it's having me look at me. But I tell you, though, being a representative of one of those minority groups, it brings up the level of fear. So I'm letting go of the mic. Thanks.
I hope it's okay. Are you guys hearing me?
I just had to step back, Dolores, because part of me, and I'm just going to say this, and please don't forgive me, but being a privileged white gal, I seldom have put myself in or have had to put myself where many minorities have lived their whole life. And I've never been this connected. I feel connected to you because of our spiritual beliefs. So I had to just sit back and go, what, everything happens for our good, yet aren't we here to make this dream a better place, right? A happy dream. So, you know, part of me goes, just step back and stay out of the mix of the world. Render under Caesar what is Caesar's, you know, that parable I love to talk about where the horse broke, or the man bought a horse, broke its leg. This is good. Maybe so. In the election, the outcome is, we don't know if this is going to be good or bad. Right? And I'd keep it up. So I try not to have an opinion. And I didn't. And that's not to any favor of mine. I'm just not politically inclined whatsoever and never have been. But helping the dream become happier is what Dolores is doing by being involved in your, I saw you on Facebook. That's what you're doing. Right? I mean, that's how I see it. And it just opened my eyes to it. How, why do people put so much effort into the political scheme of things and everything? But I think it's because fair-minded, loving, compassionate people, they are striving for a happier dream. And isn't that what Jesus said? In the Course of Miracles, we can make this nightmare turn into a happy dream. That can be our focus and our intention. And gosh, I didn't even know where all this came from, except thank you, Dolores. It's just given me more grist for the mill. And thank you. I'm just going to drop the mic.
Thanks, Cindy, and everybody, Dolores and Jay. This is Carrie, and again, I love this format. I love that everyone can share exactly where they're at. This is the I don't remember which core value, what number it was, but we talked about it early on, and it's exactly, you know, it's all so perfect, and I just want to say that feeling the feeling, if you can be in a place where you, nothing comes up, no blocks to love come up, you know, that's awesome. But healing is when we're aware of the blocks to love and we allow them to come up and we feel them and we let ourselves feel them completely and we question their veracity at the same time. That's actually what healing is. So, so I just wanted to share that, you know, that it is important. And from that place, where those feelings and beliefs are questioned, and we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit, the divine spin doctor that lives within each one of us, to have its way with those beliefs. That that line that I kept coming back to from the reading, what was meant to curse has come to bless. And so we get a whole new perspective, and we can come from that love, and that particular belief and feeling has then been healed once we feel the love through it. Once it's dissolved enough, there's a crack or a rent in the fabric, and we can feel the love that has never been absent, but is always present in its full and complete measure. So, Jay, I see your hand, but I'm going to pray us out, and we're going to complete this. And then there's a social hour after, because we're already over time. And I think that there will be continued opportunities for sharing. So I just want to say that. I think it's really important that people don't doubt your feelings. I mean, doubt them, doubt their veracity, but don't block them or repress them if they're coming up. Feel them, you know, and question and be willing to be mistaken and let God rip and just see what happens, you know, see what happens. That's why I told that story. And how then, you know, and then if there's action, you know, obviously we live in a world of time, space, and form and action. You know, if there is action, it will be divinely inspired action. Trust that. Trust it. So, okay, Barb. Thank you, Barb. Thank you so much for administrating during this time. And I'm going to pray us out, and then it's Ken and Rebecca's the social hour, and I'm sure there will be lots more opportunities for all of us to share. So if you guys are willing to just close your eyes and settle wherever you are, let's just deepen an anchor in gratitude for this circle. Let us, I am envisioning us not as a line on a computer, but as a circle, you know, a circle of human beings with great willingness to awaken to divine truth, to live it, to be it, to express it, to radiate it. And I know that we're all that. And I know that as we come together in communion for that purpose, that our individual and collective capacity for that expands and deepens and stabilizes. And so in gratitude for that, in